And so thank you. Thank you, Pastor Ben. Just, you know, it's just an honor. I want you to know how seriously I take this. You know, I don't do this as much as I used to, thankfully, because it does, you know, I just take it very seriously, and I'm honored to share this morning. So let's pray. Y'all ready? Amen. Lord Jesus, we do come before you this morning, Father, and God, I recognize and I know that the Word of God is living and active. It's sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates to divide soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. And so, Holy Spirit, I yield to you this morning. I feel like I got some good stuff here, Lord. I believe it is from you, but I yield. You take out what you don't want, and you put in what you do. Give me a hearing ear to hear, Father, to present this. God, let them see you. Let them hear you this morning. Tom does not exist. In Jesus' name, amen. So y'all ready for this? Real quick, this message actually started, I want to say 5 or 6 years ago. I was cutting my grass. I love yard work, and in the middle of doing yard work and just different things, not just that, you know, I just heard God give me these verses, and I mentioned it to Pastor John at the North Braddock campus where Michelle and I were going, and he just encouraged me to keep building it, and then it just kind of dropped until earlier this year. You know, just bits and pieces through the years, but then early this year in January, I got a word back in the back there that I shared with Pastor Ben, and I'm like, I gave it to him, let's see what happens. Now is the time. I did not promote myself. I didn't say another word. If God wanted to make an opening, I was good. So let's look at Ecclesiastes chapter 3, okay? I'm gonna encourage you, listen, I believe if you're not a note taker, you need to start taking notes, because I believe I've got some good scriptures here, but there are other ones that are gonna come this morning. And you and I, we're going to need this. This is a now word that we are going to need as we walk, little foreshadow there, as we walk into what God has for us, okay? All right, so Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Solomon wrote this, the wisest man who has ever lived, aside from Christ. He said, late in his life, for everything there is a season, a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh, a time to grieve and a time to dance. That's for Michelle there. She likes to dance. A time to scatter stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to turn away. A time to search and a time to quit searching. I wish I could learn that one. A time to keep and a time to throw away. A time to tear and a time to mend. A time to be quiet and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. Verse 9, what do people really get from all their hard work? I have seen the burden that God has placed on us all, yet God has made everything beautiful for its own time. He has planted eternity in the human heart. This is cool here. But even so, people cannot see the whole scope of God's work from beginning to end. Play that song, Joe. Recognize this song? Come on. Great one. From 1965.
Everything turn, there is a season turn.
Okay, Joe, you can turn it off. We'll put it back on at the end. That song was from, you'd rather listen to that. You know what? I'll bet you Spotify's going to blow up because y'all are going to be putting that, or whatever you listen to. So put up verse 11 in the Good News Translation. Look at this verse. This is key here. He has set the right time for everything. He has given us a desire to know the future, but never gives us the satisfaction of fully understanding what he does. Wow. Now, time and season in different translations are used interchangeably in those verses. Let me define these for you as we go forward, because we're going to need this, okay? Little foreshadow as we go forward, right? Time means, you guys could probably define that. Time is a set time. This is biblical. These are what these words mean in the Hebrew. A set time, a specific point, a unit of time. It is 10:38 a.m. That is what time it is right now. Season, in different translations, is an appointed time, an indefinite unit, an occasion. Now, on my porch this morning, it was 42 degrees. It's spring, okay? Summer starts, I think, in June 20th, right? Where did spring go, okay? But it's an indefinite unit. That's what a season is. There are seasons in life which we all go through. There's 28 of them in these verses right here. I hope I counted right. There's 28 different seasons in these verses which we all go through at some specific point in our life. Now, the goal here this morning is, I've walked through some of these. My purpose in sharing is to bring you hope and encouragement and to teach you, here comes the foreshadow again, okay? That's the good part, is to teach you how to walk in faith from one season into the next. Because seasons, church, listen, look at me. Seasons always change. Good seasons in life to not so good seasons in life, back to good seasons in life. But they always change. Summer's coming, I think, right? It's coming. But seasons always change. And God wants to build our faith today. This is the prophetic in me, okay? God wants to build our faith today, right now. Why? Because without faith, Hebrews 11:6, we got to know the word. Because without faith, listen to me, it is impossible to please God. You got to have faith to please him, because he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Okay? God wants to build our faith. There are seasons coming in your life, in my life, in this church's life, as we follow this man. They're coming. They're going to change. And God wants us to be ready for the change of season. Amen? Okay, you still with me? Okay. Now, I had a word about now, the word now, in January. Okay? I stood right up here. I shared it. God wants to do some things now in your life. Now, there should be a blank space in your mind right now. What do you want God to do? What are you asking God to do in your life right now? I believe he's going to do some things. I believe he will, in Jesus' name. Now, this is a key point right here. This is key. There are moments in life when God doesn't just gradually transition us. There are moments in life when God doesn't just gradually transition us. He moves us suddenly and quickly thrusts us into a new season. When the time is right, he can shift the entire season in your life and change your direction. I'm going somewhere with this. There are significant moments in our life when the Lord interrupts our lives and the season that we're walking through suddenly. In the Greek, it's a kairos moment. Kairos. He steps into chronological time, 10:42 a.m., okay? He steps into chronological time that he created and brings life-changing shifts. That's another word that I've been getting for about a year now, shift. All I think about when I hear the word shift is an NFL defense shifting from one place to another. And the offense has to figure out what's going on. Okay? Okay, there's two slots. I want you to read these verses. Look at these verses behind me. I think I mixed up my pages here. It must be Holy Spirit. I did. So let me go back to the snow. There's a story I want to tell you about changing seasons, and then we'll get back. Must have been a God there. So I moved up here from Florida, from the Orlando area, which is where that picture was from, in November of 1988, okay? I'm a Florida boy. I lived there since I was 7 years old. There's only one season in Florida, hot, okay? When I moved up here, I think I was 27, 28 years old. I got a job working with a subcontracting company. And what we did was we refaced kitchens. It was a new company. So from December of 1988 until the last day of winter, which I'm getting to, I had to learn how to do all this. I never did this before in my life. And most of the jobs that I did or that we did as a company were in Cleveland, okay? So my first job that I got was in some suburb outside of Cleveland. I lived in White Oak at the time. I had to get on the turnpike and go all the way up north to Cleveland. Never been there in my life. This is long before MapQuest. Remember MapQuest? Long before, I never had a cell phone until, I don't even remember. But I used to call the customer and I knew it was about a 3.5-hour drive. I wanted to be there as soon as they got up so I could get started. So I'm on the turnpike, it's dark, I'm in my Chevy van, I'm there right now in my mind. I got cabinets, countertops, plumbing, adhesive, all this stuff in the back of my van. It's a 2-seater van, there's drop cloths on this seat. It's the last day of winter and I am freezing, okay? And then it's about 4 a.m. and it started to snow. Okay, I'm going somewhere with this. And it was the snow that's coming at you like this. You know what I mean when you're driving? It was hypnotizing. So I had to roll my window down. Okay, but you know what I thought to myself? This is before I got saved. Do you know what I thought to myself? This is what I thought to myself. This is how I think. Ask Michelle. It's the last day of winter. Tomorrow it's going to be warm. It's going to be okay, Tom. So I go do the job, got done with the work that day. It was a couple day job, was staying at a hotel. I got up the next morning and in my brain, I thought, I'm gonna open the curtain and see the sun and green grass and beautiful trees. No, there was 4 inches of snow on the ground because the season hadn't changed. It's the first day of spring now, but it didn't look like it. Do you understand? God operates outside of time. He created time. He's the Lord of time. God is not moved by the time on the wall. God is not moved by our schedule. God is not moved by the TikTok on the wall. God's not even moved by a groundhog. Okay? He's outside of time. He created it. He is moved by his purposes in our lives. And listen, this is key here. He is always setting us up for success. In between the seasons, from one season to another, he is always setting us up for success. God is for us. Mark 1:15, the time has come, Jesus said. Jesus began his ministry. In the fullness of time, God sent his son. Galatians 4:4. It came to pass, Luke chapter 2, the decree went out from Caesar Augustus, setting in motion for Joseph and Mary to travel to Bethlehem where the Savior could be born in a stable. It came to pass. That was a Kairos moment. It was God said, it's time. It's now. It's a now time. You getting that? Listen, you've been in there's some here who have been in a long season of enduring, waiting on God to answer prayer, waiting on God to move on something, waiting on God to work in your marriage, waiting on God to bring a wayward child home, asking God to help you in this situation, in your job, in your family, in work, with fill in the blank. Listen, God's not on our time schedule. He's not on our time schedule. Some of you are waiting for God to end a dry season. I've been there. God is on our side. He needs, he sees, he knows, and he hears. I picked up on that. He sees, God sees, he knows, and he hears. Now listen, church, we need to be careful when we're not getting answers to prayer, when we're asking God for things that it seems like it's not getting through. We need to be careful that we don't fall into unbelief and quit. I've been there. I've been there. God can move suddenly in your life. Okay, put up those slides of immediately and unexpectedly and suddenly. Okay, are they up there? Yep, okay. I'm not going to read all those verses. I'm just going to read a couple here because I'm trying to prove to you how God can and will move in your life, okay? So I'm going to look at Luke chapter 8. I'm going to read these. They're not going to be on the screen, so lock in here. Jesus can shift your life like this, like this, like this, okay? Now, when Jesus returned, this is Luke chapter 8, verse 40. When Jesus returned, he was on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, I believe, doing ministry. He came back. A crowd welcomed him, for they were all expecting him. Then a man named Jairus, a synagogue leader, came and fell at Jesus' feet, pleading with him to come to his house because his only daughter, a girl of 12, was dying. Now, let me share something with you before I continue here. You can insert yourself into the story. You can put, this is how I think. This is how I do this. This is why the Word of God comes to life to me. I remember praying, God, bring the Scriptures to life. When I was going through a dry season. And this is what he does. He puts me in there. It's okay for me to be like a bystander watching this happen. It's not just words on a page. The Word of God is living and active, church. So as Jesus was on his way, I'm in there. I'm in there. I'm watching this. The crowds almost crushed him. I'm a part of the crowd. And a woman who was there had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. Years. I can't even remember what was happening 12. Yes, I can. I'm getting to that. Barely. She had been subject to bleeding for 12 years, but no one could heal her. She came up behind him and touched the end of his cloak, and immediately her bleeding stopped. Like, boom, like immediately. Who touched me? Who touched me? Jesus asked. When they all denied it, Peter said, Master, the crowds are pressing against you. But Jesus said, someone touched me. I know that power has gone out from me. Verse 47, just two more in this one. Then the woman, seeing that she could not go unnoticed, came trembling and fell at his feet. In the presence of all the people, she told why she had touched him and how she said this, and how she had been instantly healed. Say instantly. Daughter, Jesus said, your faith has healed you. Another one, Luke 13, three verses. On one Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in the synagogue, lock on here, church. Are you locked on? One Sabbath day, as Jesus was teaching in a synagogue, put yourself in here now. Put yourself in. He saw a woman who had been crippled by an evil spirit. She had been bent double for 18 years. 18 years, and was unable to stand up straight. When Jesus saw her, he called over and said, dear woman, you are healed of your sickness. Then he touched her. He touched her, like he touched her. And instantly, say instantly, she could stand straight. And how she praised God. One more. This is a good one. I think we just heard this preached not long ago. John chapter 5. I'm trying to prove to you that God can work instantly and suddenly in your life. Okay? It's biblical. John 5. Inside the city near the Sheep Gate was a pool of Bethesda with five covered porches. Get in the story now. Crowds of sick people, crowds of sick people, the blind, lame, or paralyzed, lay on the porches. One of the men lying there had been sick for 38 years. 38 years. When Jesus saw him and knew he had been ill for a long time, he asked him, "Would you like to get well?" "I can't, sir." Now, they had a tradition of believing that when the waters were stirred, the first one that could get into it would be healed. "I can't, sir," the sick man said, "for I have no one to put me into the pool when the water bubbles up. Someone else always gets there ahead of me." Now, picture this, okay? Picture it. Jesus told him, "Stand up, pick up your mat, and walk." Verse 9, first word, instantly. Say instantly. Instantly, the man was healed. He rolled up his sleeping mat and began walking. This miracle happened on the Sabbath. Now, let me define suddenly for you, okay? I went backwards in my notes. Let me define suddenly for you, scripturally, not from the dictionary, okay? It means, guess what it means? It means quickly, unexpectedly, swiftly. These are my words. Out of nowhere. Boom. Okay? He is the God of suddenly in our lives. These passages and those slides and what I just read to you are kairos moments. It's not chronological time, but a decisive moment that God chooses to move in your life, in my life, for his purposes. It's for his purposes. His purposes are what move him, what cause him to move, church. It's his purposes. Let me give you an Old Testament example. The Israelites in Exodus and Numbers were stuck in slavery for 400 years. 400 years. When they got out, and they were on their journey out, okay, Moses had led them out. In Exodus, I think it's chapter 14, at one point, God placed them. Listen to me. God placed them. If you read your Bible, God placed them stuck between the Red Sea, okay, a big sea, not a creek like the one near our house. He placed 2 million people between the Red Sea and the coming Egyptian army. 600 plus chariots of Pharaoh's choice men. Not a good place to be. Who put them there? God put them there. You know, there's a verse, I got to say this. There's a verse in Exodus chapter 14, verse 15 that really speaks to me. Exodus 14, 15. After Moses tells them, 2 million people, we're going to, don't be afraid of the charging army. It's not a good place to be. He goes to God. And God says to Moses, this is good. God says to Moses, this is in there. What are you crying out to me for? Tell the Israelites to move forward. What are you crying out to me, Tom? Move forward. Wow. So they crossed the Red Sea. Man can do some incredible things, right? The steel building took about 4 years to build. Incredible. There's other things. Joe could fill in the blanks on some of the things man can build. But look at Genesis chapter 1. In the beginning, the first chapter, I counted this. God said 11 times in the NIV translation. God said, and God said, and God said. Just with one word, he created the Grand Canyon. Just with one word, he set the stars in the sky. One word. Just with one breath, Exodus chapter 1 and Exodus chapter 2, he took a lump of dust, of dirt, and he breathed into it. He didn't say come to life. He breathed into the lump, and what was created? Man was created. with a single breath. Church, with a single word, with a single breath, God can move in your life. He can change a situation in your life. And I believe right now, in the name of Jesus, He is going to shift some situations. He's going to catapult you. Good word. He's going to catapult you into a new and prosperous season. But after that season could come a not so good one. And we got to learn. Here's a foreshadow for you. We got to learn to walk by faith. I'm getting to that. Now, my story. I understand this. My story, okay? I got saved in 1993 in the middle of a divorce. Okay, I was crying out to God. I thought everything was going right. I wasn't a cheater. I didn't drink alcohol. It just never really appealed to me. Not that I didn't party at times, okay? I'm not perfect. But one night out of nowhere, I was told by my ex-spouse, I want a divorce. It sent me on it was mid-December, or right after Thanksgiving. It sent me on a, listen, out of nowhere, my whole life was changing. I was looking 30 years down the road. That's what we do. I got saved. I was calling out to God. Nobody had the answers from nobody. And it happened. But in the middle of that, I got set free. I got saved. Jesus Christ revealed Himself to me because I was crying out to Him. I needed help. I was suicidal. I had made plans to take people's lives. Okay? Yeah, I know that's on tape. I was headed downhill fast. And I was crying out to God. And God met me at 7:15 p.m. December 15th, 1993. That's another story. But God changed my life, church. This backward man, this shy, I don't like being up here. I'd rather be back there. That's just me. But He changed my life and catapulted me. Listen, catapulted me, and my life has not been the same since. I'm not comfortable up here. But when I got something, I'm giving it. Because Jesus Christ has changed my life in many ways more than just this. I'm sorry. This is who I am. Okay? No, I'm not sorry. Listen, maybe you've lost hope. Maybe you feel stuck. There's no movement. God seems distant. I'm in a dry season and I'm burnt out. But listen to what the Word of God says in Hebrews 13:8. We got to know our Bible, church. You got to pick it up and read it. In Hebrews 13:8, it says, Jesus Christ is the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I think it's Malachi 3:6. I looked this up. Malachi 3:6, God said, I am God and I do not change. Wow. We need to be reminded of this in our lives. We need to be reminded of this in our lives. One of the things God said to me when I got saved was this, and I never even knew this was in the Bible. Never. Grew up Catholic. I never read the Bible. One of the things He said to me was, I will never leave you. This is important. I will never leave you or forsake you. Three times He said that to me. Three times. You know those are the same words He said to Joshua? I didn't know that. I'm reading one day and I'm like, wow. He's the same God. Yesterday, say this, yesterday, today, and forever. Let's look at another suddenly. Let's look at one more. Then I'm going to show you something. Another suddenly. Sudden storms. We just had a sudden storm, right, Curtis? We were working on his car. He can tell you about the car. He knows more. We're in the garage, and out of nowhere, a sudden storm came. Lasted 10 minutes, but it did some damage. A 10-minute storm in your life can do some damage if you let it. Matthew 8, 23 through 27. I'm going to read this. Get in the boat. What did I just say? Get in this boat. You need to be in this boat. Put yourself in the story. Yes, this is how I speak. Matthew 8, verse 23 through 27. Then he got in the boat. That's Jesus. Now listen to this. Then he got in the boat, and his disciples followed him. They followed him into the boat. Suddenly, say suddenly. Did this surprise Jesus? It surprised them, because they were fishermen. They knew the Sea of Galilee. They knew it. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake so that wind swept over the boat. Now, if you just read words here, if you just read these words, it's not going to do anything. You got to get in the boat. Get in it. I feel like I'm talking to my kids when they were little. Suddenly, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat. But Jesus was sleeping. Really? That's what the Word of God says. The disciples went and woke him, saying, "Lord, save us, we're going to drown!" Exclamation point. Lord, save us! Exclamation point. We're going to drown. I didn't put those exclamation points in there. It's in three of the Gospels, church. Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Jesus replied. They had to go wake him in the middle of their storm that they were going through, and it was real. He replied. There's no exclamation points here. He didn't scold them like I would have just done there, okay? He replied. This is how pastoral Jesus is. You of little faith. I don't know how I would have taken that. You're in the boat now, right? You of little faith, why are you so afraid? He wasn't even up when he said that. Look at the next part of that verse. He probably woke up. You of little faith, why are you so afraid? As the boat's rocking and shaking and water's coming over it and it's almost going under. Tidal, 20-foot waves can happen on the Sea of Galilee. That's truth. You of little faith. Then he got up, rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, "What kind of man is this?" After all they'd seen, after all they'd experienced, after all they saw with their own eyes, they were there on those first verses I read to you. What kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. They didn't know who Jesus was completely yet. So these guys were fishermen. This was a big storm, a shaking storm. This storm shook them to their very core. They were experienced fishermen. They knew what they were doing on the lake. Okay, on the sea, I should say, the Sea of Galilee. This one shook them. There was no way out. They did what we do. They panicked. I would have panicked. In two of the other Gospels, Jesus told them, in this one, they followed him into the boat. This is important. In this one, they followed him into it. In two of the other Gospels, Jesus told them, he knew what was coming. Let's go to the other side of the lake, guys. So you got to picture this. They were terrified. Lord, don't you care if we drown? Lord, don't you know that we are in a sudden storm? Do you not care? We sometimes do this. Listen, we got to remember who Jesus is and remember his faithfulness. I can relate to this. It's about 12 years ago now. My family was in a big storm that came out of nowhere. A cancer diagnosis in my late spouse's life. We were doing ministry. We launched a campus. Our ministry, the church's ministry, was bearing fruit. We were having fun. We were walking in our calling. And out of nowhere, a cancer diagnosis. That storm did not end well, okay? I'm still walking. It was not easy. I've had people ask me, how did you and your sons make it through that? The answer to that is not, I don't know, other than we just kept walking. Right, Dave? We just kept walking. God sees, He knows, and He hears. That storm shook us, but we're still here. Now I'm going to end this. I got just a few more minutes here. What do we do with this? We're on a walk of faith. We're walking in faith. We know that the seasons change according to Ecclesiastes 3, right? We know that Jesus can touch us. We know that He can bring healing. We know that He can change our direction. I hope you know that. We know that seasons change, except here in Pittsburgh. Seasons do change, and you're going to be going into the next season of your life at some point. It could come quick, and it may take a while. I don't have the answer for that. So put up that definition of 2 Corinthians 5:7. The next two, these are great verses. These next two verses blew me away. For we walk by faith and not by sight. Really? That's the word of God. We walk by faith and not by sight. The word walk there means to progress, to make one's way. I know this by heart. To tread all around. So that's what the word walk means. Now put up, this is one of my favorite chapters in the entire Bible, Hebrews chapter 11. This is an assignment for you to read this week. Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11, 1 says, Now listen to this verse. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things you can't see. What does that mean? Amen. Evidence is usually tangible, yes. Right? I can see evidence in front of me. This is the evidence. But this says it's the evidence that I cannot see. I always thought that this verse really, to me, is like, Lord, what are you talking about here? So we were in a doctor's office, an ophthalmologist's office, numerous times during the later parts of Barb's disease progression. I don't know how else to say it. A personal friend set us up with appointments, so we usually came afterwards, all right? Because her eyesight was changing pretty drastically, and I wanted to do as much as I could for her to keep her sight. Okay, so we were in a doctor's office. I'm wrapping up here. Jake, come on up. Right up here. We're in the ophthalmologist's office, and she and the ophthalmologist are in the office, which is over here. You can sit right there. I'll call you up in a second. I'm in the waiting area. There's three walls. 1, 2, 3. This area over here is where they sell the eyeglasses and all that other stuff, okay? I'm sitting in a chair right here. There was three chairs. I can still picture this. And I'm so concerned about life and what's going on in life. And I'm 50 miles down the road. I'm 3 months down the road, keeping this all inside, trying to maintain my composure. You getting this? Because I don't know what's coming. I have a feeling I know, but I don't know. And I look on this wall here, and there's these pictures. They're about this big. There's three of them, about the size of a piece of paper. And they're framed over here. And there's a plaque underneath. Okay? I was a pastor at this point. Okay? I'm looking at these. Then I look at this wall. There's three more here. They're a little bit bigger, probably twice that size. Then I look behind me, and there's three more of them. They're big, okay? And there was a little plaque I could see down below this. I'm in the waiting room waiting. This is cool. So I walk over to it all by myself. I read the plaque. Considering my frame of mind and what was happening in our lives, the plaque said, "Please enjoy our stereoigrams." And I read it, and I'm like, I don't even know what that means. Now I'm close to these pictures, and I'm like, this is what I thought to myself. Those are the ugliest looking pictures I've ever seen in my life. There's no shape to them. There's no form to them. There's just a jumbled up mass of colors and shapes and sizes that make no sense to my eye. So you know what I said to myself? This is stupid. I don't have time for this right now. That is exactly what I said. So I went and I sat back down, and after 10 minutes, I thought, you know what? I'm going to take a crack at this. I went over there and I read the plaque. This is faith, church. This is faith. This is the evidence of things not seen. I read the plaque, and it says, you need to stand back. Yes, I can follow directions. You need to stand back about 3 feet and focus beyond what you can see into the reflection. You got my attention, but these were too small. Let me try the big ones. So I walked over here, and I, 3 feet back, I looked into the picture, and I relaxed my eyes. You can relax your eyes. I looked into the reflection, and it opened up. And these jumbled, colored mess pictures, this one was reds and purples and greens, and once I was inside, I saw three beautiful, I can still remember this, three beautiful deer, beautiful. But they weren't in browns, they were in different colors. And once I was inside that one, I could move my eyes around. You get this? Let me try the next one. I went to this one. It was brown. This one had browns. This one should have been this one, in my opinion. I relaxed my eyes, took a moment or two. I looked inside, and I could see skyscrapers. And Godzilla was on top of one of them, that big dinosaur. I moved to the next one. I moved to this one, got it. Moved to this one, got it. Moved to this one, got it. Moved to this one. This one took a little bit longer to get inside because it was small. Got it. Moved to the next one. Took a little bit longer. The only one I couldn't get was the last one. Come on up, Jake. The only one I couldn't get was the last one. And I went back numerous times because the pattern was tighter. It was a jumbled up mess. Looked like football teams getting ready to oppose one another, but I think that was fake to take my mind off of what it really was. I still haven't gotten that one yet. Okay? That's what faith is. We walk by faith. Go back to that verse, Joe. We walk by faith. You stay up here. Jake has no idea what's coming. We talked about this. We walk by faith. Start over here. Now listen to the instructions I give you. Okay, that's okay. Turn in that direction. Okay? Look up. Take a step. One, stop. How many steps did he take? He took one step. His goal is to get to this door right here. He knows God has something for him on the other side of that door. Have you been through that door before? You know what's out there? Huh? What's out there for real? A hallway? Speak up. A hallway. Are you sure? Can you see? You're pretty sure. Can you see outside there? You can't. Say that louder.
I can't see.
Take another step. Stop. Okay. Church, are you moving right now?
Not right now.
What are you?
Standing still.
You're standing still. This is where the breakthrough happens.
Yes.
Right here. The breakthrough doesn't happen when we get out of the door. It happens right there. We got to teach ourselves to be still. The Bible says in Psalm Isaiah 40, this is where our strength gets renewed. Right here when we are still. The best person who knows how to be still is sitting right here on the front row. Michelle can be, I'm like, how do you do that? I asked her that one day. How do you do that? I'm getting better at it, but not as good as her. Take another step. Stop. Okay, Jake, take a couple steps. Stop right there. Okay, can you see the door better than you could over there?
Oh, yeah.
You can? A lot better. Go through the door and then come back in. That's faith. It's learning to trust God before we get to the door. That's not the breakthrough. This is the breakthrough right here. When we're transitioning from one season into the next, look at me, because seasons will change, and sometimes they change suddenly. Good ones, I pray for all of you, and not so good ones. We need to be ready because God wants to build our faith. I don't know what's coming in your life. He does, right? It's the steps along the way and being able to look and believe God that he's on the other side of that door and he's leading me the way. That's all I got. Who needs prayer right now? Who needs prayer? Come on, we're in a safe place. Yes. If you can't feel safe in church, then we got to work on. Okay, I'm going to just ask you to come up front. If you need prayer, come on up over here. Beth, can you come up? I know there's more than that. Thanks, Jake. You're transitioning from one season to the next. You've been praying. You've been asking God. You've been seeking him, and you're not hearing God's voice. You can move down, shift down that way. Can we get the prayer team up here even now? Yeah, the prayer team, people who are praying, come on up if you're on the prayer team this morning. I'm just going to pray a prayer over. Wow. 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 God's going to answer some stuff right here. He's going to answer. He's answering right now in Jesus' name. He's answering right now in Jesus' name. Suddenly and quickly in your life, God will move. His promises are true. He's faith. He's a faithful God. That's a verse for you right there. He's faithful. Matt and Lauren, this season's over. It's in your rearview mirror. It's gone. It's done in Jesus' name. You're in a new season right now. The dry season is over. The season you're walking into is lush. Say lush. It's a lush season full of greens and beautiful colors. God's done a great work in your life. You're in it. You're in the new season. Receive it in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. I just pray for healing right now. Prayer team, you can come over here. I know we train each other about how to pray together. Just start laying hands on people. Michelle, will you do that too? Just start laying hands on people. God's thrusting. Joe, your ears are open. You're going to hear him like you never have before in Jesus' name. And the first words he's saying to you right now in this new season, you are a son who I love. I love my creation named Joe. Joseph is my son, my treasured son in the name of Jesus. Your ears are open in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. You can just move from one person to another. Just pray a blessing over them in Jesus' name. Larissa, God has heard you. God is speaking to you right now. You need to receive it as a father. Correction is not rejection. You're in the Father's arms right now. Receive the blessing of the new season in your life at 11:21 a.m. May 25th. Receive it, Larissa. It's there. It's over you right now in Jesus' name. It is done. Say that again. It's done in Jesus' name. Patrick, your house is enlarging. Your house is enlarging. It's enlarging. I see it getting bigger. And it's not so much for children as it is for children. There's going to be generations that come out of your house. But spiritually, God has deposited in you something to... I see you both sitting down at the table and reading God's word together and enjoying it and having fun together. And your family time as well. In the name of Jesus, I just pray that over your family. Fruitful season. This is a fruitful season. A fruitful season for you. Fruit that will last in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. in Jesus' name. You're healed in Jesus' name. Any generational curse right now is lift. I see it broken. The axe is at the root. The chain is broken in Jesus' name. Clear thinking for this daughter of God right now in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Wow, he's a good God. Say, he's a good God. He's a good God. He's a good God. Ben, you're walking in it right now. The walk of faith, you're walking in it right now. Say that. Come up here. Come on, take a step forward. You're walking into a new season. The sun is shining over you. Where's your wife? Where's your wife at? Is she here? In Jesus, she downstairs. In Jesus' name, I just speak a blessing over them. Holy Spirit, come on up here. No, you come up next to him. In Jesus' name, I just speak a blessing in this house. No lack. There is no lack. And that doesn't just mean money. That means there is no lack of any of the gifts of the Spirit, of any of the fruits of the Spirit. In Jesus' name, God's answering your prayer. I see you in a new season, in a new place. A new season, and you're in a new season, and you're in a new place. I see you laboring in something you love. You love in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Can we wrap it up? Okay, we're going to wrap this up, church. Okay. I'm just going to stay up here. I'm going to close in prayer. I didn't get a word for everybody here. In Jesus' name. Lord Jesus, I just thank you for your word that brings life. It brings life that you're the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And you're a suddenly God. You're a suddenly God. Joe, put that verse up there with all those scriptures on it. That one slide with all those, there it is. You're a suddenly God. Those, take snapshots of that and read. There's so many more. There's so many more than just this. Thank you, God, for what you've done this morning and what you're going to do in the lives of these people here in Jesus' name. And to worry and fear be lifted, sister, in Jesus' name. There is no fear anymore. God is walking right beside you. He's walking, I see you like this. He's escorting you into the next season. He is taking you into the next season like a bride is taken by her husband, her groom, after they're married. Wow. That's who he is in your life, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
As everybody makes their way back to the seat, like just want to close, and I just want to say another prayer right now. Heavenly Father, I just pray right now, with all the seasons going on in everyone's life, Lord, I pray that you would move. You know what's going on in each and every home and every heart that is sitting here. And Lord, we thank you for that word from Pastor Tom. Lord, that we would have faith, we would step out in faith, and that's where the breakthrough is, in that one step. So I just pray that we wouldn't try to do everything all on our own, but we would be still and take that one step of faith in you. So, Father, we thank you for this morning.